Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
So we're in for a special treat today. Could I have our guests, you come up to Carter, Mike, Maddie, and Carter. Could you guys come up? Yeah, let's welcome them. She's going to have a baby and name it Randy if it's a boy or a girl. Yeah. So this is Mike and Carter and Maddie, and they're from an associated church working with live streams now called the Father's Heart, right? Father's House down in Owensboro, Kentucky. They have four children. This is Carter. He's the oldest. And we have another one on the way soon in, I think, late August. Is that right? Early September, yeah. So, and Randy, welcome. Hi, honey. Yeah. And it's there. He moved? Oh, well, there you go. He or she, yeah. So it's this group that's organizing the youth retreat coming up. And maybe, I don't know if you'll mention a little bit about that. And that it's with the youth, with our church, with Dan Reynolds Church up in Chicago, and of course in Owensboro, and that's coming up in June, so that's really great. And we're just really excited to have them here, and we look forward. Tom and I get to go down there. It's only like a 3.5-4 hour drive, so go visit. It's a beautiful drive, and we're just excited about working more and more and more with you. So I'd like to pray, okay? Father, I just thank you for this family. I thank you for this church, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as Kayla said, that you would just cover the Father's House this morning. That, Father, it would just be an incredible time together worshiping you. Let people get saved. Let people get healed. And, Father, I just pray as Mike shares this morning, Lord, that we just confess we have good soil. Our hearts are ready to hear the word. We're excited, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would just speak to him exactly what to say, exactly which rabbit trails to go down, and that you would just bless his time up here. We thank you so much for this family. We thank you for Carter. We thank you, God, for this life that you have in front of him, and we just pray that he would fulfill every good purpose for you, and I just pray for this baby. Just pray for this baby to come quickly at the proper time, and he or she would be a good eater and a good sleeper. We bless this family in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes. Glory. Good morning.
Good morning.
I preach from a laptop because I'm a millennial.
That's right.
Right? If it offends you, repent for religion. anyways, good morning. It's good to be here. I received that prayer from my baby to sleep and eat.
Yeah,
I've never had a problem with babies eating still to this day. None of my kids have problems eating. Praise God. But we received the sleeping part. You know, so many people, our kids, some of them did not sleep well at all. And people are like prophesying that baby's going to sleep. And I'm like, you guys are false prophets, because that baby never slept 2 years. So either you got sin in your life, or that's a joke. I joke a lot. We like to have a good time at our church. I do, at least. Maybe I won't speak for everyone. I like to smile. Some of you need to smile, honestly. Like, you really could use a smile. I could point you out right now in this room, the ones that really need a smile. Let's just practice that. Can you smile? Don't you feel better? Because I got a kind of a sort of hard word. I think my word I have this morning is going to be really freeing for some people and really challenging for others. Depends on which side you land on. But the challenging part that I have is something that the Lord's been doing in my life. So anyways, it's good to be here, because one of our pastors at our church is preaching. We've been talking about a biblical worldview. How many of you know the church needs to have a biblical worldview? And we need our families to have a biblical worldview. And we can't have our Christian views and then our other views when we're around certain people. As Christians, we have a Bible view, and that's it. Amen? And it's very challenging today, especially for our younger generation, to try to separate your views. No, you have a Bible view because it's true, not because it's just religious, but because it's true. So they're preaching on sex and sexuality at our church today, and I'm kind of glad I'm here. Someone else is doing that this morning. So anyways, I was talking to Tom last week, a couple weeks ago, and I asked him what to talk about, and he was just being Tom, you know, just saying, hey, whatever you want to do. I've been doing this, whatever you want to do. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just ask the Lord. I'll just see what God wants to do. And so I was at a conference in Michigan, and I was just praying, and out of nowhere, the Lord was like, this was like last week. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. It's like 4 or 5 days ago. And I felt the Lord say, hey, I want you to talk about more of a testimony, kind of like I did last time. Some of you might think this is how I always preach. It's not, you know, some of my insecurities coming out right now. I do really preach some points sometimes and real legit sermons. But the Lord was like, hey, I want you to talk about, since I was here last time, I actually went through like a really rough place. Since I was here last time in December, I ended up having a panic attack and going to the hospital with COVID. Crazy. And then God was like, hey, I want you to talk about that. And I was like, come on, really? You know, like, and then last night I spoke to the leadership. I thought it was a really good word. I thought it was a really good word. And I was telling them, like, man, I struggle with, like, man, I'd rather preach that this morning so I can prove I'm more legit to you guys. My need for approval that I can struggle with, right? And I'm just trusting the Lord. He's like, no, talk about your panic attack and what I taught you and what you learned out of that. I'm like, okay, why? And I believe it's because the Lord, I believe what he wants to do this morning in this church is to bring you guys closer together. I believe he wants to bring couples closer together, marriages closer together, that you're smaller. Whenever y'all get in small groups, I believe he wants to help you guys to understand one another better, to have compassion on one another that maybe you don't have normally. And so I'm just going to trust the Lord. Amen. This morning. And how many of you know we're not all the same? Oh, yeah. Right? We're not all the same. How many of you married people can say amen? Amen. You know that they say, you know, but before marriage, you know, opposites attract. But after marriage, opposites attack. Not to prophesy death over you, but it's turned out that that's been very true in my life. It's like, oh, wow, you get together. You're like, we're so different. Wow, I love everything about you. You're all the thing. You're so quiet. You know, I talk to everybody. You're so sweet and creative and awesome. And then we get married and it's like, why are you the way that you are? You know, why do you do everything differently? Like, you don't plan. You have no plan. And I'll do the life languages. I was like that really high. I think I was shaper and doer were like 2 points apart. And that made a lot of sense for me because it was like, the shaper is what's your plan? And I love my wife to death, but there are no plans. She's an artist. She's creative. Oh, man. And just to be transparent, you know, it's been rough. You know what I mean? Like, our marriage has been rough a lot of the times. We both have come from just broken homes, a lot of trauma in both sides of our family. And then the more and more I think about, like, the enemy wants me to think, like, man, this sucks. Yeah. Why'd you even get married? Y'all's life is too hard. You know, this is too much work. Yeah. But then I can see, I'm like, oh, I see what God's doing. Like, he's wanting to use this for his glory. Yes. And he's wanting to help us give hope to maybe, and maybe you're just perfect today. And you have no problems. And part of this message will be for you as well on pride and self-righteousness. But anyways, but you know, it's just like, I'm going to, no, like God's going to use this and we're going to love really well. And I'm having to learn how to love really well. That love is not self-seeking. Right. And it's way harder. Yes. When people around you are way different than you. Yeah, that's right. And you're judgmental. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to myself. Let's just be real, you know? I'm going to be very real. That's all I really know how to do. I used to be a drug addict. I didn't want to go to church. I never wanted to play church, so I wouldn't go. You know, I grew up in church. You know, I never wanted to just go to church and put on a role. And I never wanted to do that, so I didn't. You know, and so when I finally got saved, I'm like, you know, I want to do this the right way. You know, but then I also became a little self-righteous myself because I used to think I was better than all the religious people. Because I would say, man, I'm really loving God the right way. And the people that just go to church on Sundays, and then the Lord was like, yeah, but now you think you're better than them, and now you're the same as them as well. So let's pray one more time. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We just recognize that you're here, as Andy said, like you're right here in this room to help us, to encourage us. And I just pray that your word today, God, that would do what only it can do. It can correct us. It can rebuke us. It can reproof us. It can encourage us. Everything, no matter where it lands, Lord. Lord, just let it just bear fruit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Something at our church we like to say, if it's from Jesus, we want it. And what we mean by that is, like if I had everybody line up over here for blessing, we'd probably have a long line. But if I had a line over here on this side of the church for correction, he'd be like, nah, I'm good on that. But how many of you know if it's from the Lord, you want it?
Yeah.
If it's correcting, I want it. Yeah. If it's encouraging, I want it.
Yeah.
It's the correcting words that I've gotten through the Bible. I'm not talking about harsh. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Mm-hmm. If that's all you know of correcting, then that's not how God speaks. God doesn't speak through condemnation and harshness and shame and guilt. If you're hearing that, that's the enemy speaking. But God does correct us. And so anyway, so I'm at Luke 18, 9 through 14. See, I do read the Bible. And this scripture just came to my heart before I get into kind of what's been going on with me. I'm just going to take you guys into a deep place of vulnerability. Is that all right?
Yeah.
About 10 of you. I believe the Lord wants to take you to a deep place of vulnerability with one another. Not very many amens to that. I heard a pastor say that, you know, one of the greatest needs of people is to be known on a very deep level without being rejected.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean we put up with sin. It's not what I'm saying. It just means that we can really be ourselves and have real struggles and real problems and real things going on in our life, and we're not going to be rejected for it.
Right.
And we're not going to be thought of less than. Right? Luke 18, 9 through 14. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It says, to some who were confident. So you might land on both sides of this. We don't know where you land. And it's okay no matter where you land, because you can find hope and freedom and encouragement this morning. To somebody say some, who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Let me say it this way. God, I thank you that I don't have the same struggles as other people, because their struggles are a lot worse than mine. Mm-hmm. You know, the real heart of being judgmental is that you think you're better than others because you don't struggle with the things they struggle with. Because you have struggles too. But when you start to compare struggles, like, oh, that person, man, they really got some issues. I'm better than them. It's like, hold on a second. Hold on now. So it says that the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you. I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, Baptists. That was a joke. I was seeing if y'all are following along. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Can we just be real? There's people, we compare ourselves to people to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. And it's very easy to do. You know, it is very easy to do. I don't do drugs. I don't cheat. I don't even cuss, Lord. Man, I'm awesome. You know what I mean? I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. How many of you know God's just not worried about it? You know how many times I've heard people say, well, I tithe. And people at our church, sometimes they're like, they won't join the church, they won't get involved, they won't serve, won't do small groups, won't do anything. They're like, they let me know, but I tithe. And I'm like, you're literally just making yourself a dollar sign to us. That's all I am. Well, that's not all God wants. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants the gifts inside of you. He wants you to be in community. He wants you to be sharing things that you're struggling with and things that you need help with. How many of you know all of us need help with something? So he says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then God has a way of humbling us. Man, have I been humbled in the last 6 months? Probably the most humbling. This is kind of a scary verse. Let me say it like, how many of you love the promises of God? This is a promise. Not all promises end like you would think well. Like, we love to claim the promises of God. Yes, in favor, you know, finances, wealth, whatever, prosperity. He's like, but also, hey, if you exalt yourself, it's a promise you're going to be humbled. But here's the other promise. Here's the good promise. If you lower yourself, you'll be exalted. Right? I want to be on the other end, but I seem to keep finding myself on the other one. So God has a way of humbling us. And so I believe the Lord wants to help us understand one another. So I was in my marriage. You know, me and Maddie are very different. I might get emotional. I'm a big crybaby. I know. I don't care. I love it. It's wonderful. I used to really care what people thought a lot of ways. But so me and Maddie, like, we're different people. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, I'm not married. This isn't for me. No. You're in community with people in the church, and there's going to be people different than you. Yeah. I'm just giving you this example. And so I'm like Maddie has different struggles than I have. She has different things that bother her than bother me. Not to pick, I'll give her this little one, I might get in trouble for this, but when she gets upset sometimes, she just hates the music being turned up in the car. It doesn't make any sense. Turn it down. Yeah. I'm like, why? What is going, what is wrong? Why is this hard for you? Why are you so weak? Let's just be real, because that's what we're communicating. Your struggles shouldn't be a big deal. You know why? Because they're not a big deal to me, and I'm pretty amazing. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, that person that's still struggling with cussing or whatever they got going on, they're still drinking, the drug addict, man, I'm better than them. Why is it so hard for you to get out of this? So for years, you know, I've basically been communicating to my spouse, these things that are really hard for you, they shouldn't be. Because they're not hard for me. You know, you should just have faith. You should just believe God. You know, I wouldn't say that to her. I wouldn't say, okay. But that's what I'm communicating that ultimately. That like, hey, these shouldn't be difficult. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, this is the worst parenting you could do is when a kid is struggling and saying, it's not a big deal. Obviously, if there's tears in their eyes, it's a big deal to them. Yes. Right? And if we're going to be family and really have true relationships and actually love one another well instead of just playing church and coming together and singing a song and somebody having a word, if we're actually going to grow up in our faith and help one another truly, you know, you're going to have to be real with one another. You're going to have compassion for other people's struggles and actually not put yourself in hierarchy above other people that struggle differently than you. And you want to create safe spaces. I believe this church wants to create safe spaces for people to have real problems and real issues and not make them feel stupid. Like, it shouldn't be hard for you to have anxiety. It shouldn't be. That's fear. Rebuke it. Believe it now. You got it. Just get over it. I can. Right? I do it really well, actually. Let me show you how good I am of not having social anxiety. Why is it so hard for you? Why can't you go up to people at church and just talk to them? Why can't you make friends? Why can't you just get close with certain people? Why can't you just do that? Why can't you just calm down? Why you got to be so OCD? Why is it so tough? You know what I mean? Is this making sense?
Yes.
And so, this is where it gets crazy. So I'm at the live streams retreat. Praise God for it. And whoever brought COVID to the live streams retreat, I hate you. Just kidding. That's good. You know who you are if you're listening. Like three of us left with COVID. Yeah, so if you're coming this year, that's a good, you know, pool to get you to come, right, this year. So anyways, we leave. We had a great time, an amazing time, really got blessed. Really feel like the Lord just did some awesome stuff with us personally. Just felt so encouraged. And then literally we drive back from Chicago, stop in Evansville, get a hotel because we're just tired. I wake up in the morning with a fever and cold chills. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to speak this over myself. But when I have gotten sick in the past, usually I get like super sick and it's terrible. You know, and I get home. And so I deal with some trauma from my past, from being an addict. I've overdosed a couple times in the hospital. I've been restrained in a hospital because I was just coming down off drugs and out of my mind. And I've had some terrible situations. I've been ODing in the hospital where I believe I was still conscious after that moment. Just for some of you in this room, might not, what happens after we die? I was still conscious. I remember thinking I was going to hell. I remember literally thinking, like, I'm going to hell right now. Like, dang it. I missed it. I missed the chance. You know, like, I always thought I'm invincible. I'm young. I'm not going to die. That's not going to happen to me. That happens to somebody else. And then, you know, they gave me this medicine because I was so anxious. How was crap going on? They gave me this medicine called Halidol, and it sedated me for like 2 days where I couldn't get out of my bed. I physically couldn't move. And it was probably one of the most scariest, craziest moments of my life. And because of that, I have dealt with like these like triggers, if you will, I don't want any medicine that's going to make me feel sedated. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
And even some of you might be thinking right now, man, this guy's crazy. See, it's even happening in this room right now. I'm better than this guy. You know, this guy's nuts. You know, I definitely don't have these issues. My marriage is great. And then you land on one side of this parable. And so, I'm trying to be mean. You know what I mean? And it's not what the Lord wants for you at all. So I am in the hospital. And so I don't like having medicine. I took Benadryl on accident one time in the morning. And I mean, I had to get close to the Holy Ghost because I started to feel tired. And I was just like, and it was a trigger to me. It was a trigger of like, oh my gosh, I'm not in control of my body. And it brought back all these terrible feelings that I hate so much, that I used to love. Maddie used to tell me, why is it so, like, I don't understand. You used to love this. And then I was like, that's a good point. And then the Lord was like, you're a new creation. And I was like, now I hate it, which is awesome. And let me just say that. If there's something you're struggling with, God can set you free.
Yeah.
And the stuff that you think you love now, you'll hate later on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And so I get sick, and then I don't like to, when sickness, what are you supposed to do when you're real sick? Go lay down. Go to sleep. Sleep it off. What do I hate doing? Being sedated, feeling like I have to lay down. So what do? The dumbest thing ever. I stay awake. I'm walking around the house. Because I'm struggling with, like, I don't want to feel out of control of my body, so I'm gonna stay awake because I don't want to be forced like I'm asleep because this anxiety's ridden with me. So I just stay awake for like, I mean, I go to sleep at night. I stay as long as I can to the night to take my medicine, take ibuprofen, get to bed. I'm taking medicine. Every time I'm taking medicine, I'm praying because I'm like, Lord, I trust you. Help me. Because I need this medicine, you know? And I feel, honestly, I'm like, I'm a pastor. I feel like such a loser. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I can't. What? I feel like this is elementary stuff. I need to trust the Lord to take medicine. But here's the catch. It's not for me. It might be for you. And there's something that you might struggle with that I think is, I'm like, I don't struggle with that at all. Why can't you just talk to people? Why can't you just go out and make a friend? I don't get it, right? And so, 5 or 6 days in, I'm completely exhausted. I got COVID. It's crazy. I'm not sleeping. I'm anxious. I'm in a crazy place, okay? And then I think Thursday night, Friday night, I don't know, I go into like a full, what they call like a rigor attack, where like my adrenaline goes through my whole body and I physically start shaking uncontrollably. Never has happened to me in my life. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I was just like, I'm in bed with my wife and I'm just shaking uncontrollably, shivering. And I'm like, Maddie, call an ambulance. I'm like, I think I'm having a heart attack. See, y'all weren't expecting this morning. You're expecting some Holy Ghost fire revival word that I don't have. And I'm like, call an ambulance. I go to the hospital. I stopped. I'm like, I couldn't physically stop it. I was freaked out. I'm like, what is going on? I go to the hospital. I stop shaking by the time they get there. Man, the paramedics are super rude to me. Oh, it was bad. And I'm sitting there thinking, listen, man, I'm not one of them people that just goes to the hospital for fun. You know, and just loves to go to the hospital in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? You're call the doctor, the hospital. I'm like, should I come? And they basically just try to talk you out of it. Like, you don't need to be here. You know, it's like, I'm not one of the people that just think I have a bunch of problems, okay? And once again, here I am maybe thinking I'm better than those people. So, I get to the hospital. He gives me some medicine. He checks me out and he looks at me and he gives me kind of a harsh answer. How many of you know he's not a pastor and he wasn't really the nicest person? And he says, hey, and I just be very transparent with him. I said, man, I've just been through some trauma. I've been medicated in the past. I haven't been resting. I know what's kind of going on with me. I don't know what just happened. I don't know if I had a heart attack. He just simply tells me, you have COVID and you need to go to sleep. And I'm like, bro, sleep is not a safe place for me. Some of you might sleep like babies. There's a ton of nights that I just pray and I say, Jesus, I just love you. I trust you with my sleep. I read scripture because I've just had trauma over my sleep. That might be really easy for you. And I'm so grateful for my kids, my wife, my son right here. He can sleep on the floor in the kitchen. Not a care in the world. And I'm happy for him. But the doctor's like, you had COVID. You need to go to sleep. And I'm like, and I feel so stupid. Because he's like, go home and go to bed. And I'm like, and I just feel so crushed because I'm like, man, you're right. I'm just in a bad place, man. So I'm calling Dan and Tom. And I'm like, man, I think Maddie called him. It's good to have people you can call that aren't going to be like, Mike, just have faith. And but here's the catch. I did need to come to a place of faith. And it's not, I'm not saying I didn't need to get to that place. And so I go home. I go home. It made it all worse, by the way. Yeah. I got home at like 4:30 in the morning. You know, I'm taking an Uber from the hospital, just realizing that I'm in bondage, really. Yeah. Like having this revelation of like, oh, Mike, you're in bondage from fear and you need some freedom. You need some healing. And let me just say, some people might get some freedom and healing all at one time. The probably majority of us, you're going to have to walk it out in bravery the rest of your life.
That's right.
You know? My drug addiction left me instantly, but some of my other things I need freedom for and healing for, they've stuck around. And I think of Paul saying, you know, or God saying to Paul, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. For in this weakness, my strength will be made perfect. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Lord, is this my thorn? I don't want to have these thorns. This, can I have something else? Can I just have like a bad leg or something? Just being honest. And so I get home the next morning, one of our elders and his wife, they hear, because we tell them what's going on. She calls my wife and she says, Mike's dealing with trauma, with fear. He needs deliverance. He needs healing. And we're coming over to pray. Wow. Whether, and then she said, whether he likes it or not. That's the kind of elders you need. Yeah. Let me say it like this. That's the kind of friends you need. Yeah. You know, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend. That means because they're going to say something sometime that's true, that's in love, but it still hurts to hear. You know, I'm their pastor. Like, I'm the lead elder. Like, they're, you know, and it's very humble of them to come over and still love me. And then they come over and I'm desperate. And I'm like, okay, come on, man. I know what's going on. I know I'm struggling. And I know I'm in bondage. I know this is not what God wants for me. And we were just about to start our freedom ministries at our church and our freedom conference. And the Lord was like, it was obvious what he was doing. He was like, there's another level of freedom, Mike, that you still need. Before you can continue making your whole church about freedom. And this is what we do. And it's just like, you can't just have cool things you do at your church that you actually don't carry. You can't impart something that you don't carry. You can't just speak about really cool things and really want to do something, but be careful. As God has a way of getting things out of you. And so I'm not saying God gave me COVID, but he obviously allowed it. And everybody that was praying, it didn't stop. I had a fever for 9 days. You know what I mean? But God was working. He was working in it. He works in everything. Yeah. And I get home, they're praying. So we get on the couch and I'm just like, let's go deep. Let's go in. Let's have some inner healing. Let's go back to these moments with God when fear first entered my life. Let's go to the hospital. Let's go in the spirit, if you will, back to these, revisit these places, and let's let God bring healing and wholeness to my life. And then like a few days later, a week later, I get staph infection. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, Lord. So I literally come to this place where I get freedom. I get hope. This is really cool. So I really had a fear of sleeping, especially during the day. Because I was like, I'm not supposed to be sleeping right now. It's like it's taking over, right? And then they come to my house. It's 11, 12 in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon. I don't really remember. We pray. We deal with a lot of stuff in my heart, just confessing. How many of you know I had to repent, though? Lord, forgive me for believing lies of fear and not having faith. God, forgive me for believing this stuff. God, I trust you. And then after they left, I slept immediately for like 3 or 4 hours. It was beautiful. Peace of God. And then the brain fog hit me, which that is something that really triggers me. I feel like I'm out. And then here's the crazy part. The brain fog stayed for like 7 more days. It didn't just go away when I stopped being afraid. It was just, I just started to be brave. God might not take away everything you struggle with in your life on this side of heaven, but he is calling you to be brave. Yeah. And calling you to, bravery is when you do things afraid. Yeah. Go look at Gideon. And so I'm like, all right, Lord. So I just kept trusting God, and I would just sleep and breathe during the day, and it would just lifted. And then I got staph, and then I go to the hospital again. And this time, Maddie's with me. And let me just say, the whole time I'm sick, Maddie is just amazing to me. Incredible. I mean, just a lifeline. Huh. And. I mean, just absolutely amazing to me. And it was crazy. So I get to the hospital. Are y'all following me?
Yeah.
I'm in the hospital again. As soon as I get there, because Maddie's not with me first, as soon as I get there, I have staph. There's literally like a sign up in the emergency room that talks about how staph can either be not a big deal or you can die. And I'm like, Lord, were you just preparing me to sit in this place last week? And then I started thinking, I started saying, okay, Lord, I'm not going to listen to fear. Then I just started to ask God truly. This might sound crazy to you, but I'm like, am I going to die? Like, Lord, am I going to die actually? Is this what's going on? And the Lord said, no, Michael. He said, you're not even halfway done with your life. And I was like, oh, man. You know, the enemy's right there, though, because I'm only 35. and that's 70. And the enemy was right there to say, you're going to die at 71. How many know the devil never stops lying to you? And then the Bible says that he tempted Jesus. If you read, I believe in Luke or in Matthew 4, one of them says that he stopped tempting the Lord until an opportune time. He didn't stop. It wasn't the only temptation, the only struggle Jesus ever went through was just in that time in the wilderness. It was like the devil's never going to stop trying to lie to me, to be scared of taking medicine and go to sleep at night. I just have to start renewing my mind. I got to trust God. I got to pick it up. I got to be brave. And so do you, whatever it may be, right? And I get to the hospital again. And at this point, it's like really unknown. They're doing blood tests. Maddie's with me. And I'm just like, man, I'm just yoking up with Jesus. But I can, you know, I'm not freaking out. I didn't have any, I wasn't panicking anymore. I was okay. And I remember the Lord just really speaking to me strongly. And let this just be a lesson for some of you that would like to learn things the hard way. And Maddie was just so good to me. Like she wasn't, and I believe the Lord showed me like, the Lord spoke to me. I was on a hospital bed, not knowing what was going on. Maddie was sitting over there. She was being so gracious to me, so kind to me. But she was also saying, hey, you're going to be okay. It's all right. Everything's going to be fine. You got this. The Lord's with us. And the Lord was like, Mike, could you imagine if she looked at you right now and said, hey, this shouldn't be hard for you. Man, I started crying in the bed because I was like, and the Lord was like, that's what you've done to her for years. And I was like, oh my gosh, because it was so painful. I was like, I could not imagine somebody coming in this hospital right now, a religious person, and saying, Mike, this shouldn't be hard. Trust God, man, you got it, duh. You're a preacher, you know the Bible. You know, you've been to Bible school. This shouldn't be difficult. And I just broke because I was like, man, like that's how we make people feel when they're struggling with things that we don't think are that difficult. They're in a really hard place. Something's really hard for them to do. And we communicate, hey, it shouldn't be. Oh, man. So I'm in the hospital and I just broke and I cried. I think I apologized to my wife for like 15 days. I literally, just every day, just saying, I am so sorry. And then the Lord showed me, like, not just in marriage. Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's not just about marriage. I know we love that scripture, but it's talking about having community with one another. It's saying on your own, you can be overtaken. But when you're together, when you have help, when you can actually help one another, you can be defeated. And especially even more than that, when there's a few more and there's three of you. When there's community and people know what's really going on in your heart and people aren't just around telling you this shouldn't be hard from you. People are actually praying for you. They're carrying you in their heart. They're carrying the burdens with you. They're lifting you up. They're encouraging you with scripture that they know that you need. They're not just being religious about it. Some things need to move. Some things need to actually move for some tears for our eyes before we give people instructions. If you don't have compassion and a heart for somebody, I don't think you should ever correct them. If you're not actually carrying someone in their heart and thinking, man, and understanding this is difficult for them, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to truly be encouraging. If you don't have that, you don't need to go around trying to give everybody correction. Especially preaching from this place about it. Yeah. I tell our staff and our leaders, if you have something corrective to say, if it hasn't actually broke your heart, don't say it. Because truth without love is just condemning. And the Lord started to show me like, hey, Mike, Maddie's not the source. I'm the source. But she is here to help you, right? So let's just say this. Let's just get this understanding today. We are here to help one another. And help does not look like telling people this shouldn't be hard. You're weak. Because what that communicates is you're weak. I'm so much stronger than you. Man, I'm so much better than you. I don't struggle in those ways. I'm pretty incredible. Right? That's what it communicates to people. And then what it does, it has people, they don't come out of the shells because they're just going to be told you're weak and this, you're just a weak Christian. You need to grow up. You need to mature. But somebody say, not this church. Somebody say, not me. I'm not going to be the one that says, oh, look at me. I'm so much better than other people. Because God has a way. Remember the promise? Because I honestly was carrying myself in our marriage without realizing it, of like, oh man, like I'm above Maddie. Like, you know, like she's weak. She's got all these struggles that are just so easy for me to deal with. Man, I'm more mature. And the Lord's like, really? Really? Hospital. Panic attack. You know what I mean? In the hospital again. And then the Lord has a way of teaching us some things in these moments. I remember with Tom, I was telling Tom all this, and he said, Mike, don't move too quickly from this place that you're in right now. And if I could be transparent this morning, I probably did. Because we can just, you know, you can, God really does something awesome in your life, and you seem to sort of forget about it in 2 weeks. So we're not there to be the source for somebody, but we are there to be helpers to get them to the source. Does that make sense? Because I feel like the Lord was saying, hey, Maddie's not the source, because we can get real codependent and weird, but Christ is in us.
Yeah.
And there's just something about when God seems far away that the body can seem really close, encouraging. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've never felt God physically touch me. But I have had people and grown men and people put their arm around me in prayer. And I felt like the Lord was holding me. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So God uses us to encourage one another. To the things that we need, sometimes we need, we have to receive them through other people. Yeah. Right. And we need to maybe realign this morning. Are we really loving each other well? Are we judgmental? Are we thinking we're better than other people because we struggle differently? And I'm kind of closing with this. I don't even know what time it is.
11:13.
My goodness. How'd you know that? Oh, it's on your thing. It's early? Praise God, it's early. My God. Well, I don't want to be religious and drag it out. Let's just be honest. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I struggle with that too in my church. And this doesn't sound like a sermon. Are you sure I can do this? What if your church could be a safe place? Truly. And it doesn't mean we're not trying to get people better. You know, we don't want them to grow up. Like, I need to learn how to deal with this fear. I need to exchange faith with fear. I need to take medicine. There's so many times where I need to just take medicine. And now I'm taking supplements and things every day, and I don't even like taking some of those. You know? And I just have to trust the Lord. So I don't know what's difficult for you. And let's just go there for a moment. Everybody in this room, there's something difficult for you. Maybe you're OCD. And you're a control freak. And it's hard for you not to be. Did you know control is rooted in fear? I remember Maddie... I came home one time and the kids were watching a show and it was like scary. I went in the room and they had like a spooky show on. And I got like, I was like mad. So I was like, what the heck? Why is this on? Turn that off. That's not okay. And I went to Maddie and I was aggressive. And I'm like, babe, what's the disconnect? Like, we need to figure this out. Why haven't you checked that? You know, and I got to a place where I was like, you know, if you can't figure this out, maybe I'll just get rid of the TVs. Let me say it like this. I'll just take control. And I started thinking. I knew the way I handled Maddie in that moment was not right. And so I sat down. I said, Lord, what is this? I said, what just happened, Lord? He said, you're afraid. I said, what was I afraid of? Well, you're afraid of ruining the kids. You're afraid the kids are going to get hurt. So what did I do? So he said, Mike, when you get afraid, you take control. And then we think it's wise. Somebody's got to do it because things are going to go bad. We got to take control. And the Lord showed me, like, no, that's wrong. That's out of fear. You shouldn't do anything out of fear. Right? And so I don't know what you struggle with. You might struggle with control. You might struggle, which honestly is rooted in fear. Because if you really want to start tracing things down, if I start to trace that down even further, it's like, well, my kids are going to get screwed up. And the Lord was like, well, what if that happens? Then what? And it means I'm not a good parent. It means I'm not good enough. So there's always these roots. There's always these roots that are pushing everything else that's coming out of your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. So let's just think for a moment. What do you struggle with? You don't have to say it out loud. Please don't. Let's close our eyes. That helps. Don't just look at me, please. What are some things that are hard for you? If you don't know, I'm sure if you're married or you have a parent, family, they can tell you. The things that are hard for you, I don't believe the Lord is saying, hey, this shouldn't be hard for you. I just really feel like the Lord wants people to be known right now in this room. To be seen and to be known just on a deep level of maybe stuff that people don't, and no one in this room even knows about that you struggle with, but the Lord knows. And He's not here to condemn you this morning. He's here to bring grace and mercy and freedom and wholeness and speak life. Yeah, Lord, would you just show people that just the awareness that you're here to help them with this? Like, you are the wonderful counselor. You are what the Bible would say the helper would come and help us with these things. That they're not alone in their struggles. Whatever they may be. Then I kind of want you to switch gears. Could you start to think about maybe the ways that you judge other people? And maybe even people will come to your mind right now. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's friends that you have. And you're like, yeah, I actually do think I'm better than them because of the way they struggle with certain things. Thank you, Jesus. And there's no shame for this either. And let's just take a moment and just ask the Lord to forgive you. Just choose right now to humble yourself before the Lord. I would highly encourage you to do so before you might find yourself in a humbling situation. The people that come to your mind, just choose this moment, Lord, forgive me. Help me to have compassion. Yeah, Lord, I just pray you'd give people in this room just a heart for people that we struggle with, thinking we're better than. That we'd be a true helper to one another and encouragement to one another. Yeah, Lord, forgive us for gossip. And even just talking in our friend groups or in our whatever they may be. Just about people who are doing things that maybe we're not struggling with. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I just feel like the Lord wants to really just minister. If you're married, would you stand? If you plan to get married, I'll put some of y'all on the spot. See where your relationship's really at. Hmm. Some of you younger people, I pray you get a hold of some of this now. Like truly, my heart truly, honestly for you is, man, get all the marriage coaching and help that you could possibly get. Get all the freedom and healing and your own junk. Get this stuff figured out now. I just keep hearing the Lord saying restore. So if you're married, would you hold hands? And if your spouse is not here, just think of them in the spirit. Just being here with you. Come on, Jesus. Let's just wait in this moment. Hallelujah. Strong marriages equals strong families, strong kids, strong churches.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You guys are a team. Lord, we just speak against this and break just every bit of division of the differences that it can push us far apart from each other in our marriages. The different qualities and different things we have, God, let us to truly celebrate one another like those times you did when you first met. Let us men learn to be gracious and full of mercy and kindness. And some of the women as well, that maybe you're the one that struggles with the control or whatever it may be. We just take a moment before the Lord and ask God to forgive you for anything that comes to your mind this morning that I've said or brought up. Anything that you've been holding over, anything where you've just made your spouse feel stupid. Ask the Lord to forgive you. He will. Hallelujah. I love this. God, I just thank you for just a new day, just a new dawn truly in our marriages, in our relationships, in this church, God, to truly be family with one another. And if you're married and you have a hand, would you just take a few minutes to pray out loud, just with each other? You can face each other like a school dance. That'd be really cute. Come on, no one can. I can't pray for you. Pray out loud. Just pray. If you struggle with that, I completely understand. I can help you. Just say, Lord, bless my spouse. Say something like this. Help me to love them like you love them. Help me to care for her like you care for her. Forgive me for being frustrated with whatever it may be. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I'll just speak this over Life Church, St. Peter's. Humble and gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. Awesome. If you're on the prayer team, could you come down as we close? I know it's a little early. I'm sure you can hang out in here for a long time if you really want to. That's okay. I don't have anything else. Hallelujah. Something I do at my church I think is a good idea. If this is okay with you guys, you probably don't care. But listen, I just want to give a call. If anybody here needs to be born again, I don't want to miss that. If you need to be saved, if you need salvation, if you're like, man, I'm still struggling. I have not turned away from my sin. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe He was buried. I believe He rose from the grave. I want to make Him Lord of my life. I want to give Him my life completely. I'm tired. I cannot be in control of my life anymore. He has to be in charge. If that's you, would you just be bold enough right now? If there is anyone, would you just raise your hand? I need to be saved. I need salvation. I just want to give a moment. I'm not saying that there is someone, but I would hate to miss it. Anybody, I need to be saved. I need salvation. I'll give just one more second. All right. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. One more chance. Anybody, I need to be saved. And maybe I understand this is really difficult for you. Everybody's watching. I completely get it. But you're welcome to come down front too. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Everybody in this room, say, neighbor. Say, is that you? If you need to be saved, say, I'll go down with you for prayer. Hey, I'll even pray with you right now. I think God needs to be saved still. And if there's anybody else in this room that just needs healing in their body, or just, can we just all stand? We're going to close this way. If you just, if any part of this message is like, man, it really touched me, I just want somebody to partner with me in prayer for anything at all, for healing, for just emotional support. You just need somebody to stand with you. You're going through a rough time. You're going through a hard moment. The body is here to help you feel surrounded. If that's you, would you just come down for prayer even just now? If you just need to, anybody to partner with you for prayer for anything at all, would you just come out of your pew? Awesome. Let's do this. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Say, do you need prayer for anything? Say, I'll go with you. And some of you are like, yeah, you do need prayer. Let's go. Awesome. Bless you guys. So the altars are open. I bless you. I don't know, Randy, you want to close this? Yeah, it's up to you. Do you want to close? All right.
Sorry.
Hello, guys. My name is Michael Tucker. A lot of y'all know me, and a lot of y'all may not know me. I'm sorry. So I was reborn on January 14th, and it's been the greatest thing in the world for me. I'm going into a program that's going to get me off the streets, and I'm going to be in there for a year, and I'm super excited about my journey. But I wanted to tell y'all that I love each and every one of y'all, and thank y'all for letting me be a part of your church home. Okay?
Can we just lift our hands? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for just complete freedom in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold, everything, God, is completely bowed at the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless this man of God. He said, Lord, I gave my life to you. I'm taking what it takes to take the next steps, Lord. And we just prophesied that this church is with him, surrounding him, beside him, and encouraging him. Lord, we thank you for the bravery and the boldness to come up here in front of everybody. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just say more. More. Was it Michael? Come on, God has a habit of saving Michaels. Come on, can we just pray all together? Say more. More people like Michael. More souls. Come on, Lord. Give this church souls. Give this church souls. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, guys. I love each and every one of you. Y'all hear me?
Father, we just say thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you that you desire genuineness of soul, that we can be completely transparent with you. And Father, we're committed to working on our relationships here, being completely transparent, because you've placed us in a body where each one ministers to one another. Help us to see where we're judgmental. Help us to see those areas that are less than lovely and to take care of them, so we repent from them. Lord, I thank you for this word. I just thank you, God, how it goes into my heart and now it's going to bear fruit. Bear much fruit. Bless the rest of our day, God. We say we love you. We worship you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be dismissed. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.